And today our text comes from verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here Jesus Christ is offering a gift, free, undeserved, not to be worked for, the gift of salvation. He speaks of those who labour, who toil, who are weary from work. He speaks of those who are heavy laden, that is, bearing a burden they cannot bear. And he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. This is our theme this morning, Christ's rest for the heavy-hearted. But what is this rest? What does it mean, rest? Rest is a continuous state of peace, quiet, and calmness of the soul. It is an inner sense of security, safety, contentment, happiness not dependent on your experience. The opposite of rest is restlessness, dispeace, worry, anxiety, uncertainty, fear. And rest in this world is not the absence of trouble. It is rest even in the middle of trouble. There's a famous illustration of an art competition where the theme was the perfect picture of peace. And men and women were bringing in their paintings to the gallery, and then came Judgment Day. Which one represents best the perfect picture of peace? And you can imagine the pictures, can't you? Serene, tranquility, maybe waters and it's smooth. You can't even see a millimeter of movement. None of these pictures won the competition. The perfect picture of peace was this: storms, angry storms, winds blowing down trees left, right, and forth. A craggy, scary mountain with a waterfall crashing down and lightning hitting it. And yet, in the cleft of a rock is a wee bird. In its nest, with its chicks, at rest. Even though the storms descend, even though it's thunder and lightning and chaos, there's rest in the bird in the cleft of the rock. And that's because in this world, we shall have storms in life. We shall have trouble. And true rest is not the absence of these things, but it's in the midst of these things there is peace and calmness and tranquility in the soul. Rest is you go to the doctors and they sit down and say, I'm so sorry, you have cancer. How do you respond? There's still peace. You go into work one day and your boss takes you into the office and he says, I'm sorry, we have to let you go. But there's no anxiety, there's no panic, there's rest. One day you get home from work or school and your mother's crying her eyes out. Her sister's just died. How do you respond? There's still rest in the soul. And why does Jesus Christ offer this rest? Because we don't have it. By nature, this rest is absent from you and absent from me. By nature, our lives are nothing but anxious, worry people. There's nothing but restlessness and striving and movement and activity, uncertainty and fear. Jesus offers us this rest because we do not possess it. And yet, we're looking for it. That's why he says, laboring here. Are we not looking for peace? Is that not what people want in this world? I just want peace of mind. I just want peace of conscience. I'm tired of all the wars. I'm tired of newspaper reports and TV reports, and it's war and fighting out there. I just want world peace. We desire these things. We long for these things because we do not have them. How are you today? Do you have rest in your soul? I'm not talking about a wee 5 minutes of feeling rest or a mere fleeting happiness. I'm talking about in the midst when you find out there's problems and troubles, when there's death and cancer and sickness, and when you laid off your work, when you turn on the news every day and it's absolutely chaotic in the world. Tell me your soul then. Uncertainty, fear, worry. But we look for it, do we not? We look for peace and rest. And here's our problem. We look for it in the wrong places. We look for it in ourselves. We look for it in the world. And every time it fails. We want rest. What's the answer? What's the solution? Education, money, entertainment, technology, relationships. If I have some of these things, I will have rest. No more worry, no more anxiety, no more uncertainty, no more fear. How folly. Are rich people without worry and panic? Anxiety? Of course not. They're full of it, even more so. Oh, education's the answer. We just need to educate people and give them good jobs. Are educated people and people with jobs without worry and anxiety? Uncertainty and fear? How do people in jobs deal with cancer? And death? And grief? And sorrow? They have no remedy. Technology, entertainment, relationships. Surely these things are the answer, because of course when you're entertained there is no such thing as uncertainty and fear. You see, we live in the modern world, and especially in the West. Here in the United States of America, this should be the most peace nation on the planet. Anxiety and worry, uncertainty and fear should be a foreign language to us. Think about it. We have clean water everywhere. Good education. Good jobs. Freedoms. Our whole lives are designed for peace and rest. Say I'm busy one day and I don't have time to go to the bank. I could just flip on my phone and do it all from my fingertips. Stress-free, they say. Entertainment at the tip of my fingers again. I can watch movies and listen to music and distract my mind anytime, anywhere. We should be the most peaceful, restful, anxiety-free country in the world, and yet there is no rest. There is no peace. Why is addiction on the rise? Because people are so full of fear and uncertainty and worry and anxiety, they must escape. Give me alcohol. Give me drugs. Give me gambling. Give me sex. Give me something to take away the dissatisfaction, the discontentment, the unhappiness. Take away the anxiety. Take away the fear. Take away the loneliness. depression. They say at least 1 in every 10 adults is depressed in America. And it's on the rise like a rocket ship. Medication and pills and distractions. Why? Because we're so anxious, we're so worried, we're so full of uncertainty. Suicide. Every 12 minutes, someone in this country commits suicide. Why is that? Uncertainty, fear, panic. People who are millionaires, who have absolutely everything they could ever desire, fame, reputation, cars, homes, vacations galore, and yet they commit suicide. Why? Because none of these things can give you rest. Relationships, that's all it is, isn't it? And yet 50% of marriages end in divorce. Half. Why? Because everyone's full of peace and rest. No, because they're full of restlessness. And so what do we do about these serious problems? Let's ignore it. Let's live in a virtual reality. What's a virtual reality? A reality that's not real. So you can pretend reality is not happening. And that's what we do. We do it in many ways. We may choose to completely ignore it. We may choose to stiff up our lip. That good old can-do attitude. We'll stuff the problems with entertainment. Why is it when nations are the worst, entertainment's at its best? Why is it during the Great Depression where literally tens of millions of Americans were bankrupt and unemployed and could hardly put bread on the table, and yet entertainment was booming? Because rather than deal with problems, we just want to masquerade it and live a virtual reality. Send in the clowns, send in the dancing, send in the movies. And yet none of these things get rid of the problem. Anxiety, worry, restlessness, fear. Let's try religion. That'll help. You know, make you feel better. They speak today of emotional support animals. That is, maybe you're going for a flight and you're a wee bit worried about flights. Therefore, a cute wee puppy next to you. So you can stroke the puppy and it'll make you feel good as you go from A to B on a plane. That's how people treat religion. I feel worried, I feel anxious, I feel uncertain. There's no rest, there's no peace in my soul. Therefore, I need God, I need Jesus. And he's there like a wee puppy to make me feel so good. Don't want to serve him, don't want to obey him, don't want to submit to him. But he makes me feel good. And yet that's a false religion, a false view of God and a false view of Christ. And still what happens in that state, you get cancer or disease or you lose your job, relationships break up, restlessness. Why is it we're so restless? Why is it this is absent? People do not want to know the answer. Because once you give an answer, it will completely necessitate your life being utterly turned upside down and changed. Why is it we can believe Mars, which doesn't have any water, was once flooded entirely? And yet planet Earth is over 70% full of water and people deny there was a world flood. Foolishness. Blindness. Because when people know the truth of why the world the way it is, we do not want it and so we ignore it. And so what is the truth? Why is the world, why are you, why am I, why are we so nature? Restless. Sin. Sin. Sin is the reason why we are so restless. Sin is disobeying God. Sin is transgressing His law. Sin is rebelling against the Creator. Sin is living for self. Sin is living according to the ways of the world. Sin is the reason why there's restlessness. And you tell anyone the truth and the remedy, and they'll run a mile. But this is the reason. Because the Bible is the book that tells us the truth. It doesn't lie, it doesn't deceive, it doesn't manipulate, it doesn't tell you to put on a nice bright smile, but yet it's miserable. The Bible is a book that tells us all things. It tells us about the past. How did we get here? What happened in the past? It tells us the truth and reality of the present, why we are the way we are. And it tells us of the future, what's going to happen. So Bible, what happened in the past that resulted in restlessness today? The Bible says man was created by God. Man has worth and value because we're made in the image of God. And He created a soul. We're not just body, we're not just material, we have a soul. Why is it we can reason? Why is it we have logic? Why is it we have science? Why is it we have engineering? Why do we have society and civilization? Because we have a soul. And when God created that soul, He designed it a specific way. And the soul was designed to find its rest and happiness in God. So by its very nature and function, the soul is designed for God. And so God, in His infinite goodness and blessedness, would have a relationship of fellowship with man, and man's soul would be full of rest and joy. But then something happened. Man sinned. God says, you can eat absolutely every tree in the garden except one. That's all, just one. The day you eat that one tree, you shall die. And what did we do? Man sinned. What happened when man sinned? Well, what happened when thieves steal? What happens when murderers murder? There must be condemnation and punishment. And as man sinned against God, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, it says, cursed. Cursed is man. Cursed is the ground because of man. Now there's a separation between God and man. As Isaiah says, our sins separate us. But the soul remains. And the soul, which was designed to find rest and delight in God, can no longer do that. It doesn't desire to do that because of sin, and it doesn't have the ability nor the opportunity because God is separate. But the soul still wants rest, still desires delight, still desires happiness and joy. And so it looks and looks and looks and never finds it because the soul is away from God. And that's what we have in the present day, restlessness in man. Seeking and laboring and striving for rest, and we can't find it. I'll find it in education, restlessness. I'll find it in money, restlessness. I'll find it in sex, restlessness. I'll find it in technology, restlessness. God says to sinners in Isaiah 57:20, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith thy God. There is no peace. Think about your own conscience. You know when you do wrong. I do. When you were too quick with the tongue to your mother. When you want to steal something. When you want to say things about other people, but rather say it with the tongue, you say it with the mind, or when you do say it with the tongue. What does the word conscience mean? Con, with, science, knowledge, with knowledge. Every time we do something wrong, it's with knowledge. That's why we feel bad. How do I know stealing's wrong? Because I do it with knowledge that it's wrong, because I'm made in the image of God. And so our lives are full of sins. We're full of lust and covetousness, full of anger and hatred. We break the Sabbath every day, every week. We don't love God. We love other things more than God. And the guilt just builds and builds and builds and builds, and we know our minds are affected by it. And this world is full of sin. Everyone's looking at me, myself, and I. And that's why there's war and murders and shootings and problems in society and nations' problems with each other. Why? Because of sin. Sin. Educate everyone. Give money to everyone. Provide everything to everyone, and there'll still be chaos and war. Because there's sin in the heart. We're separate from God, and therefore there's restlessness. Now let's look to the future. Death. Isn't that one reason why we're so restless? People today, especially young people, they don't understand the purpose of life, the meaning of life. That's why young people more than ever before are committing suicide. Because what's the point? What is the point? And the world just says, oh, it's just to be happy. But what's the point? What happens when we die? The Bible's clear. It's been appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. And we have all our guilt, all our sins, all our disobedience, and what? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Because he's a good judge. He will not let the guilty go free. And he'll cast you into hell. Hell's not something we created. Hell's not from Dante's Inferno, and therefore we're just going to make people scared just to obey people. Absolutely not. How wicked and manipulative would that be? Hell's real because Jesus Christ spoke about it more than heaven in the Bible. Read the Gospels. And in hell, there is no rest. Did we not read from Revelation 14? This is what happens to sinners who don't come to Christ. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night. God will justly punish you physically and spiritually, mentally and emotionally forever and ever and ever. Because you've sinned against him physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, your whole life. But Jesus Christ comes to you. You restless, you peaceless, you anxious, worried, uncertain, fearful men, women, and children. And he says to you, come. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christians talk about the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. That's all it means. Good news. Here's the good news. In a world of sin, in the world that's cursed, in a world of disobedience and rebellion, in a world of restlessness, Christ enters and says, I will give you rest. How does he give you rest? He gives you rest by dealing with the root problem. If you go into a garden and there's loads of weeds and you just pull the weeds out by the stems, you know that's not going to deal with the problem. Just wait a week or so. Because the root hasn't been taken out, the weeds are going to continue to come up and up. Christ's not going to deal merely with the fruit or the plants. He's going to get the root out. And what's the root problem? Sin and the curse. Separation from God. God's going to come in, Jesus is going to come in and wash sin clean. Jesus is going to come in and he's going to take that curse. Jesus Christ is going to come in and take that separation between God and man and reconcile together. And he does this out of love. Love, my friends. Because he loves sinners. He loves the poor and brokenhearted. He loves the widow and the fatherless and the orphan. He loves the prostitute. He loves those who are oppressed. He loves those who are outcast in society. He loves the sinners and the publicans. And he comes in and he stands in the place of sinners. Genesis 3, curses on man. Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus Christ takes our curse for us. That he comes as a substitute. And God the Father sees him as our sin. God the Father pours out punishment on the Son instead of believers in Christ. And the Son dies, completing, accomplishing, finishing salvation. And 3 days later, he is raised from the dead. And now he declares good news. Sin is forgiven in me. The curse is taken away because I did bear it. There is no more separation between God and man because I have reconciled God and man together in fellowship. And then Jesus Christ comes speaking in his Bible, speaking as you read it, speaking through preachers as they declare it, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he sends his Holy Spirit in you to believe. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, what happens instantaneously? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The very moment you have faith in Christ, peace with God. And your soul, which has been searching here, there, and everywhere, and finding no rest, will now have rest. Because you've found the soul's object, God in Christ. And that conscience that said sin and guilt, peace and rest, because you're forgiven in Christ. And in this life, your life is full of rest. But what about all the troubles? What about losing your job? What about relationships breaking up? What about diseases and cancer and death and grieving and mourning? They'll still happen. But because your soul is at rest with God in Christ, all these things come what may, you're like the little bird in the painting. You're in the cleft of the rock. The storms are battering and the wind is waving and the lightning is coming down, but you're in the cleft of Christ our rock, and you're calm and serene in the soul. There was a man in Scotland who received the news he had cancer a few years ago. So he started a blog and a video. Why? To tell everyone that Christ and cancer is rest. He does what we should all do. Use good means for life. Go to the hospital. Get treatment. But nothing happened. Nothing worked. Did he panic? Did he worry? Was he filled with uncertainty and fear? He had rest. Why? He had Christ. He had Christ. I was listening to a radio program of a young girl, I think 15. Her name was Selena. She's from South Asia. And last year there was a cyclone and completely decimated her village. Her entire home was just gone by the cyclone. And she gave a testimony how she had complete rest because she had Christ. Because she had Christ. People in this room who are Christians can tell you testimony and story of how this world of sin has battered and bruised them. And then they'll tell you in the same breath, but I had rest in my soul because Christ is with me. What about on your deathbed? What are you going to do? When you know your moments from entering eternity, what will you do? If you don't have Christ, anxiety, worry, uncertainty, fear, torments. But if you have Christ, you have rest. Why? Because you're going to a place of rest. Revelation chapter 14, speaking about those who die in the Lord. It says, blessed are they who die in the Lord. They shall rest from their labors. All this trouble, all this fighting, all this striving in this world, rest. The Bible says in heaven, the curse is removed. The Bible says in heaven, God will wipe away every tear. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. Heaven is a place of sinless perfection. It's a place of tranquility, calmness, peace. It's a place of unfathomable, inexpressible joy, full of glory. Where you live for all eternity with Jesus Christ, with God and His glory. And with the multitudes of other men, women, and children who found rest in Christ. And here today, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to every single one of you. Come. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come. Why will you labor? Why will you strive? Why will you bear the burden? Why will you remain in the guilt? Why will you be anxious? Why will you be worried? Why will you be uncertain? Why do you have fear? You believe in God, believe also in me. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does he mean, come? How do I come? He's simply saying, believe in me. Have faith in me. Faith is when you put your entire life trust on someone. Christ is saying, don't believe in yourself. Don't believe in your righteousness. Don't believe in your good works. Don't believe in what you do. Don't believe in your efforts. Don't believe in the things of this world, but have faith in me and you shall have rest. Jesus Christ is here and he's saying this rest is free. It cost him his life. It costs us nothing in that sense. It's free. It's free. It's not you need to change your life now, be in a certain place, and then he'll give you rest. No, it's free. Come. Oh, but maybe if I have to be more religious and more dedicated to pray more and read more and give more. No, it's free. It's free. Oh, but I have so many sins. I have many problems. I've done so many wrong things. It's free. Isaiah 55, Jesus says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy." There's water here, my friends. It's free. Come to the water of life. There's food for your soul, my friend. It's free. It's the bread of life. You need peace. Come to the Prince of Peace. It's free. And it's a command. This "come here" is a command. It's in the imperative. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God. And he commands you this day, come. But notice this king. Verse 29, "I am meek and lowly in heart." He's gentle. A gentle. "A bruised reed he shall not break. A smoking flax he shall not quench. Come to me." Jesus says elsewhere, "He or she that comes to me, I will never cast out." Anyone in this room, you today, anyone on this planet, any who comes to me, I will never reject. I will always accept. And this "come" is an invitation. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus Christ tells a story because there's many people ignoring this invitation. He speaks of a man who has a big feast. There's lots to eat. Oh, the steaks, the chicken, the beef, the lamb, the desserts, the vegetables. It's beautiful, it's sumptuous, it's glorious. It's the gospel, it's rest for your soul. And he says to everyone, "Come, come and eat, come and eat." "Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I've got work to do. I've bought a piece of land I can't accept. Oh, I'm too busy. I need to try out the new ox I have. I need to put the yoke on them and go around the field. My relationship's in the way, I'm sorry. I can't come to the feast. I'm married now. I'm busy." Jesus says the kingdom's removed from them and they shall be in hell. But he's inviting you. Because then Jesus says in the story, "The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Come and eat. Come and be filled. Come and find rest in Jesus Christ. This "come" is urgent. Come. Because I don't know when I'm going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. You could travel out this road today. You're going down to the Beltline, looking all clear, go down the road. Bang! Car crash. You could wait a few weeks. Suddenly there's a lump somewhere. You go to the doctors. "We need to have tests here." Comes back. "I'm sorry, it's cancer. It's too far gone. You've got 6 months to live. It's urgent. Come." The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, now. And Jesus Christ is stretching out his arm. He's declaring to you personally, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you sincerely, genuinely come, he will guaranteed accept you. I'm an example. A poor, wretched, evil sinner looking for rest in the things of this world and always, always, always disappointed. And as soon as I found Christ, I found rest. For today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ to you. Come, and I will give you rest. Amen. May Christ give rest to us all. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a gift, what a free, glorious, gracious gift. We pray every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, would have faith in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, reconciled to God, and Christ would keep our souls. Be with us all in the Saviour's name. Amen.